So on behalf of the Galesburg branch of the NAACP, we'd like to thank all of you for attending this evening's District 205 Roundtable. We'd also like to thank the audience and residents of our community for submitting questions. We did receive a multitude of questions. While we've tried to consolidate them all, there's unfortunately not going to be enough time this evening to go over all of them, and we hope you'll understand. For our audience that's listening this evening, we have with us Bart Arthur, our superintendent of schools for District 205, Mike Panther, our president of our board for District 205, David Black, who is, I'm sorry, David Black could not attend, David Sharp, who is our Galesburg Education Association president, Luann Statham, who is Galesburg Education Association vice president, and I am Candy Webb, the Galesburg NAACP branch president. While we anticipate this being an informal discussion and want answers that are as complete as possible, we may have to limit the timing of some of the discussions so that we can fit in more questions. I'll wave my hand and gesture if we need to limit anything during the discussion time, okay? We're holding tonight's roundtable discussion in an effort to unite the community, gain clarification on school district-related questions raised by our community, and hopefully find some solutions to some of the challenges our community is facing. But before we get started, I know there's some legalities, and we are off limits on some subjects. Superintendent Arthur, can you explain what those limits are and why they exist for us, please?
Primarily, they are the part of the collective bargaining agreement that with the GA and ourselves have that basically anything that was discussed during those sessions cannot be questioned because that is under a closed session, and so there's no open meetings violation, and both the union and ourselves need to hold that as sacred. So that's why we can't discuss some of those items that were in the collective bargaining.
Okay, that's fine. And do you agree with that?
Yes, any topics that we can't discuss due to that.
Okay, great, thank you. That takes away several questions, by the way, okay? So let's go ahead and get started. One of the biggest questions surfacing from the board's decision to move to a 168-day school year surrounds the dollars the districts either will or will not save as a result of making that change. Understanding that the board is tasked with being good financial stewards for the district, I would have deferred this to Mr. Black, but Superintendent Arthur, would you please break down for us the bottom line increase or decrease in dollars over the loss of the 6 days and tell us why you feel this was a good financial decision for the district overall?
Well, first of all, this will be an estimate because you can't tell exactly what will happen because your GSA is based on the best 3 months of daily attendance. And so the answer I'm going to give you will be estimated, so I want to make sure that everybody understands that this is just a rough estimate because we have no idea what our attendance is going to be from here on out. But for general state aid, the daily rate is about $81,229.16 that we would lose for those 6 days.
Can you push your microphone up just a little bit closer to your mouth and
yes.
Say that a little bit louder, that number, please?
$81,229.16, the total divided by 180. For the payroll, our rate is about $139,409 daily, and therefore the difference or benefit to the district would be a benefit of $58,180. So basically it's a break-even proposition. It isn't helping us or it isn't hurting us. That's just the way it will work. And that's an estimate because, like I said, you've got to understand that we don't know what the state aid will be because it's based on your 3 months basic for daily attendance. So that's the best I can do.
Okay. So that is based on students' attendance, correct?
Yes, it is.
And it is also including teachers' salaries, administrators' salaries. Okay.
Yes, that's including all salaries, paras and everything, and our daily attendance. And that's just taking an estimate, what our estimate from last year was. That's the best we could do.
Okay, so really we're at about a zero.
Yeah. Yes, right? That's right.
Okay, would you concur with that, David?
I don't have the records available to me at this time to do the mathematics on that. It was an understanding that we believed that the district would actually receive more money because of not having to pay the teachers' salaries during those days, and the offset would give a positive balance to the district. But I couldn't say that for positive without taking a look at those records.
Okay. By your recollection, Mike, is that exactly what you're thinking? Okay. That subject came up, and with it came, were the administrators paid during the, will the administrators be paid during the 6 days?
Yes, the administrators are on a year-long calendar. Some of them are on 10-month, but everybody had to work during that time, including secretaries and cafeteria people for a few days, and then we had to let them go because there weren't any students in attendance. But we're following the advice of our attorneys, and I felt like we did as best we could do.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Okay. So this question is directed to you, Mr. Sharp. We have received an overwhelming number of questions on why an agreement was made that included 6 days no pay. So can you explain the reasoning behind asking the teachers to vote on a contract that included 6 days with no pay?
During the negotiation process, you get to a point where there is no movement on either side. And at that point, we were told that this is their final offer. And once a final offer is given to us, then at that time, we have to take it to our membership for them to make the final decision. So we didn't really have an opportunity to negotiate after a final was given to us.
Okay, and so the vote was 48%, 52%, is that correct?
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay. And so those, so about 50-50 is really half the teachers agreed and half the teachers didn't, right?
So that is correct.
Okay, so for those teachers that did not agree, were they complaining about those 6 days, or what was the reason that 50% of the teachers did not agree with the contract?
Well, I can't speak for everyone, obviously, because I didn't have an opportunity to get the information from each individual person. But in the situation that they were faced with, you always have to take and think of the big picture. A lot of people did not want to continue the strike because they wanted to be in the classroom with the students. Because at some point, you have to start thinking about who else is suffering besides those people that's participating in the strike. You also have the students out there. So I'm sure that weighed heavy on many teachers' mind, because that's the reason they went into teaching, was for those students.
Okay. All right. So we are faced with 50% of our teachers being happy and 50% of our teachers not being happy, right? What is the GEA doing about the morale for the teachers right now?
Well, we're trying to answer any question that we can to make sure they fully understand everything that it took place. We've had open forums for if the teachers have any questions or if the community had any questions, that we tried to best our ability to answer those. With any situation like this, it takes time. And I think that's the thing that we're looking at right now. It's going to take time, and it's going to take something like this where we can actually sit down and meet with administration and the school board and take a look at things and see what we needed to improve or make things work to the positive in the future.
Okay. Do you have any suggestions for increasing the morale for the teachers?
Excuse me?
Do you have any suggestions for increasing the morale for the teachers?
Well, I think they need to see that there's being things put in place to make changes. They think that they believe that if we leave things the way that they were in the past, we're going to be facing these things over and over again. So my belief is that they're hoping that things get put in place so that we can start making some changes and some communication starts happening between administration and the GEA so that we can start making plans together and work together as a team. And I think if the teachers see that to start happening, maybe the morale will start changing.
Okay. Luann, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that at the high school, I know we had a meeting last week where we all got together, whoever wanted to come after school and just talk about how they were doing, basically. And we tried to brainstorm some ideas of what we could do for ourselves as a staff in our building to help each other to heal from this. And I think we came up with some starting ideas of coming together more as a staff, having more opportunities to meet and talk with each other about how people are feeling, not just issues that we want to take to Dave, just how we're doing in general. So that, to me, I think that's just a beginning of hopefully some more meetings that we have with each other and planning some things that we do together to try to help us heal.
Okay. Bart, you play a very important role in that healing process for the teachers. Is there anything that, and please understand that this question is very important to our parents, because our children spend more time with their teachers than they do with their parents most days. And so if we have an unhappy teacher, then we have an unhappy child. That's the line of thinking. So is the district doing anything, or the board, Mike, are we doing anything to help that healing process?
Each of the building's principals have been directed to come up with some sort of plan that they feel best meets their needs, because all the buildings are different. All of our makeup of every building is completely different. The high school is a lot different than any of the elementaries. One building at the elementary is completely different than the other building. The central office team began reading a book called The Advantage by Patrick Lancioni, and it's about organizational health, and we're going to share that in a COT meeting. We just finished the book because obviously we haven't had a whole lot of time, but and then we're going to spread the news that we get to the principals, and hopefully they'll go to the teachers. One thing that I hope everybody understands, that this isn't the only community that's been involved in a strike, and it's been very frustrating for me and for the union as well. But it is over, and if everybody will work together, I think we can really pull it back together. And honestly, my retirement should be a good thing for the district. We need new leadership, and I think the union knows that, and the board knows that, and basically I failed, and I feel bad about that. But the key is we're gonna keep working this year to try and mend some of those fences between the union and us. We've got some things that happened through negotiations that were really good. We've got a salary committee together with the union and the administration, and we're gonna start working on how we can correct the salaries, because the issue is, our lower teachers are not paid very well, and our upper teachers are paid pretty decently. But if you try to change that at one setting, it's almost impossible. And so we're gonna get the union with the administration, and the teachers are gonna be involved, and we're gonna try to get that solved, and we've got 4 years to do it. So hopefully a new leader will come in, and we're gonna start working on it right now. And there are actually dates set to get that done, so many days. And I hope that the union is willing with us, and we're going to try and get that solved.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'm not necessarily sure I agree with all of your fault, but I will leave
honestly,
that alone.
I was the leader, and I didn't get the trust of the union, and I feel bad about that. I don't think poorly of any of those people. I understand their need to strike, and I've been on that side too, so I really do understand. I'm just sorry that I couldn't do it, because I believe in this district, and I think that the people here and you people out there care about it, or you wouldn't be here, and I appreciate that.
Thank you, Bart. Okay, moving on. During the strike period, the issue of mold and other possible toxins in school buildings was raised by several community members and workers. Superintendent Arthur, can you explain to us what steps the district has taken to ensure our children and workers are safe from mold and any other toxins in school buildings?
Well, there are a couple things that happen every year. We have an annual inspection from the Regional Office of Education. They come in and they inspect every building. And if there are anything that looks out of place, they're gonna let us know, and we've gotta correct it in a certain amount of time. The other thing is we have insurance inspections, and those are even more specific, and the fire marshal comes in. So I would never ask kids or teachers to go into a building that I thought was unsafe. Now, do we have some that are in poorer condition than others? Absolutely. But that's what our master facility plan is trying to take care of. And for example, Silas Willard is a great building, but it's an old building. And building a new one is our mark to try and update our facilities, and we're very proud of that. And hopefully we can continue that, but obviously funding is an issue.
Thank you. And Does the GEA want to respond to that? And let me, before you do that, let me just say that while the strike was going on, I personally was told that teachers had to, not by you, but I was personally told that teachers had to walk into buildings and scrub down chalkboards and desks of mold before they could start their first day of school every year. Now, please respond to that, because if that's correct, then that's absurd. And if it's not correct, then we'd like to know it.
I would first like to say that I have been in several of the buildings in the district and personally have seen the mold in the buildings. I do have pictures from teachers that was given to me of mold in the buildings. I do believe there is an issue with that in the district. I also know on the other side of that, that it does take financing to get those problems fixed, and you can't fix them overnight. I work in a building, I work at Lombard Middle School, and remodeling has been done there, and I would say that it is in very good shape now. Prior to that, there was a very serious mold problem, but to the best of my knowledge, it has been taken care of. I am hoping that the district does move forward and make that a priority, because it is a safety concern that we have for our educators and for our students, and I really do hope that that can be something that's put at the top of the priority list.
Luann, did you want
to? I just want to say that although I have not had a report recently of teachers having to scrape mold off their desks, that has been reported to me in the past, that with the humidity in the building, and I'm speaking about the high school, that they have had to come in and scrape mold off their desks before working.
Now, I really can't imagine scraping mold. And I'm wondering, are we sure it's mold, or could it be dust, or some other? No. Is it green, black, red, what? Or do you know?
I don't know what color it was, but I know it wasn't dust.
Okay, so I really like everybody at this table, so if I get this way, please excuse me, okay? But I've got to say that if you're the GEA president and vice president, and you're representing our teachers, and you don't know what color mold we're talking about, how is that?
I think I could answer that, if you don't mind. The mold that has been in most of the buildings mostly is black in color, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's black mold. There's a misunderstanding sometimes that just because a mold is black that it's the dangerous black mold, and in this instance I couldn't say that it's black mold, but the mold that was at my room in particular was black mold, and they did take care of the problem immediately when it was pointed out and discovered. 2 years ago, the first day of school, before students came in, the teachers had to attend, and my room was covered in mold. The windows, the desktops, the floor was covered in mold. The custodial staff did an excellent job. They came in, they completely cleaned the room. The mold came back within a few months later, and once again they come in, but this time they came in with different cleaners, paints and solvents and stuff like that to take care of the problem that way. And then eventually with the remodeling of Lombard, it took care of the problem. And I'm hoping that when the remodeling gets done with the rest of the buildings, then this problem could be eliminated. And I'm sure that both sides is wanting that.
Okay. And so again, for the school district on your behalf, you're saying that you've had this tested every single building. There's some pretty big buildings, so each floor and each quadrant of the buildings have been tested, and our children and our workers are safe. Is that correct?
Absolutely, but understand, in Illinois, things can change. Mold is something that comes from high humidity, and in the summertime, it's worse. And so as long as if we are notified of it, we take care of it right away. And I can tell you that we had an issue at Silas. A teacher reported it. I went in, it was right after I started as superintendent. We moved that teacher and her kids out of that classroom into another building until we got the issue resolved. So I want everybody to know that In no way would I ever ask anybody to teach or learn in a building that was unsafe.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm gonna lose some friends probably here when I ask this question. So let's talk about the loss of the 6 days from the school year and how it will affect our students, okay? First, Bart, can you explain to us exactly how the 6 days has changed in the school calendar? Is it quarterly? Is it at the end of the year, the beginning of the, where is it?
Right. There are approximately 2 days per quarter. Now, obviously, a couple of them only have 1 day that we spaced it out so that every quarter will be affected. And that's why we have our semester after Christmas this year. Not the best situation, but the best we could do with what we had. But the 6 days are spread out so that it won't hurt the students too badly. I know it's harder on the teachers to prepare their lessons and things, but we all had to make adjustments, and it's not great. And I wish it hadn't happened, but it did, and so we've got to try and move forward with that. It isn't good for kids, it isn't good for the teachers, and it wasn't good for the board or the administration, but it's over, and so we're hoping we can move forward.
So it's either 1 or 2 days per quarter, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And so I'm imagining 2 in 1 quarter, 2 in 1 quarter, and 1 in each of
yeah,
the others, right?
That's right. Yes.
Okay. If we have snow days that we have to use, how will that be handled and work into that?
Unfortunately, as we already saw the snow today, I get a little nervous, but if snow days occur, we'll have to make those up at the end of the school year.
Okay, so we can add days on to the end of the school year, right?
Yes.
So we have 5 snow days typically, am I correct?
Right.
Okay. So what would happen if we added 11 days onto the end of the school year? Would the world end?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What would happen if we added 11 days on to the end of the school year, 5 for snow and 6 for 6 unpaid days?
You know, that seems so easy and simple, but here's the problem. We have summer school that has to start. We have teachers that go on and take courses at colleges. And so all those things come into play when you're building a calendar. And we're hoping that we don't have to make up any days because we've got to get our summer school started as soon as we can so that the kids will get as much of the summer education as they possibly can. And hopefully that will help make up some of the days that we lost.
Okay. So I asked that question because there are parents who still believed that the 6 days were already taken during the strike. I do need for the board to understand that the community does not always know the answers to these questions, okay? And so let me continue because I'm going there in just a minute. But for our high school students, and this is a little confusing to me how this works, but for our high school students who are on a 4-block schedule, 1 day missed is the equivalent of really 1.5 to 2 days, right? So if we have 2 days missed, then they could potentially be missing 3.5 to 4 days of school, really, right? That's just for the high school, okay? For our advanced placement students, they're on an accelerated learning schedule. So 1 day missed is the equivalent to 2.5 to 3 days for them. So if 2 days missed, that could potentially be, depending upon the class, the difference in 6 days, 5 to 6 days. Now that's significant for any child, and if they're working in AP classes, they're probably working in more than one AP class. So that's a lot of missed days. So Mr. Sharp, let me ask you this question. As a teacher, on behalf of the district, do you feel comfortable in thinking our teachers are able to fit in the entire curriculum with this new calendar where 1 to 2 days per quarter are missed?
With so many state mandates being handed down to teachers in the state of Illinois, including the Common Core, more time is required to meet the curriculum guidelines than ever before. Teachers have been faced for quite some time now with the problem of having enough time to meet the curriculum in the past. So with the missing of extra days, it's going to make it either impossible to cover all the curriculum, or they're going to have to condense some of it and maybe not spend as much time on one topic as they feel is necessary for those kids to fully understand those concepts.
Okay. So my understanding from teachers is without the strike, without the 6 days, it's hard to fit everything in with the core anyway, right?
That would be correct.
Okay. So adding this to it, especially for an AP class, that could potentially be substantially difficult to get all of the learning in, all the curriculum in your opinion?
In my opinion, that would be correct.
Luann, would you agree with that?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Agree with that.
Do you teach AP?
I'm a counselor.
Oh. So, but you would agree based on conversations that you've had, or
yes.
What? Okay.
I think the teachers are struggling with what to do with the curriculum and what's going to get cut out and what's not.
Okay. Mike, can I ask you, have you spoken to any teachers about that?
Well, you know, I taught for 32 years also, so I'm, you know, aware of what a teacher has to do to try to get things in. And you know, you get as much in as you can in the amount of time that you have. That's just what all good teachers do. And, you know, obviously with two less days, with, as David said, many more demands, it is harder. But, you know, I think I have full confidence that teachers will try to get as much done as they can in the time that they have.
Okay. So they're going to get as much done as they can. And our board mission is, let's see if I've got that here. The mission is helping students achieve their dreams, right? So if that's the case, then are we really helping our children achieve their dreams if we're missing curriculum? I'm asking Mike that question, if I can. But, sorry.
Well, you know, the whole, and you're talking really in reference to the 6 days missed, right?
I'm talking about students who are missing curriculum that are AP students, especially, mm-hmm. that are trying to get to college, mm-hmm. and trying to take those tests to test out of classes once they get there, that are going to be missing curriculum to the tune of approximately 6 normal days. Mm-hmm. If you were one of those students and you're going to that high school, I think I might want to change high schools if I'm going to be missing curriculum, and I'm very serious. For instance, I might want to become a doctor. Mm-hmm. So my question to you is, really, did the board take into consideration how those students, those AP students, were going to be affected when they made the decision to get rid of the 6 days?
Well, first of all, you know, the idea of having 6 less days in the calendar, you know, and I think I made this clear at, I'm trying to think which month, I think the September board meeting, that I was, you know, would like to see the 6 days restored. You know, and I think different board members had different reasons for why they, you know, took the positions that they did with this. So, you know, I guess I really don't know how to answer that question, because I can't speak for what those other board members, you know, I'm not going to speak for them, I'm not going to try to.
I don't expect for you to speak for them.
But, you know, like I said, personally, I would have liked to have seen those days restored, and that was my position. I made that clear to other board members in emails, which I believe many people read once the FOIA requests were made, and I also made that very clear at the September board meeting. But again, you know, in the situation that we have, I think, you know, I have faith that the teachers at the school, the administrators in our schools, will do the best they can with the time that they have to use.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I would like to add just a couple things. You know, it's not like they missed 6 days in a row. We spread it out 2 per quarter, which that helps. And the kids that are in the AP classes are the gifted kids, and they're going to work hard, and I know that's hard work, and I feel bad that we had to cut some of the curriculum for them, but in actuality, the curriculum won't change for them. They just have to go at a little quicker pace, and most of those kids are very capable. I'm more concerned about our kids that are at risk, and I feel bad that, you know, we have days taken from them, but the return to work agreement was signed and agreed upon, and that's the way the board felt it should go, and so that's the way we have to live with it.
And we understand as a community that that was the way that you felt, or everyone, not just you, Bart, or the board, but everyone, because you guys voted on it and everyone agreed that that's the way it should go. I think the community feels, and I cannot speak on behalf of the entire community, but I think that the community, especially the ones who are parents of students in District 205 right now, feel like there can be some give. If there were to be give, there are some creative suggestions that have come up as far as how those days could be helped. Now, does anyone at this table have any ideas? Has anyone thought about any creative ways to get those 6 days back or push them around so that they make a little bit more sense, especially to the at-risk children and to the AP students? David is raising his hand. Go right ahead.
Okay. I have done a lot of thinking over the course of things, and in the beginning, you don't always have that opportunity to think things over for a long period of time and try to come up with some creative ways that may help the situation. The days were agreed upon by both parties. We have a 4-year contract between the Galesburg School District and the GEA, and it seems to me, and I don't know if this is a possibility, it's something that I've just been thinking about, the possibility that those days could have been spread out over the 4 years, or maybe even possibly still could be spread out over the 4 years, so that not one group would be suffering the full load of those days, and group meaning students, whether it's our lower achieving students at this time, or those that are at, working at the college level classes at this time. And I don't know if that is a possibility, but it has been a thought that's been running through my head.
So your suggestion is that, for instance, we would have 2 days missing out of this school year, 1 day out of next school year, 1 day out of next school year, and 2 days out of the following school year, or something to that effect. Is that what your suggestion is?
I have thought that that would be a possibility that may help instead of putting such a burden all on 1 year. Mm-hmm. Because we do have a 4-year contract at this time, so during that 4-year contract, those dock days maybe could be spread out over that time.
Okay. Go ahead.
The teachers have also, have also talked about that there are still several holidays left in the school year and that they would be willing to work those holidays, like President's Day and things like that, that we normally get off. And those are just some days that we know other school districts have used to make up days.
So holidays would mean that the kids would have to go to school on a holiday?
Like a President's Day, not Christmas or Thanksgiving, but mm-hmm. on the President's Day, those types of holidays.
And Mike, you said that you at some point wanted maybe to have the 6 days restored. Have you thought of any creative ways to get those days back in?
Well, you know, I think the agreement that we, I don't know what you mean by the 6 days, the way we're talking about it now. Do you mean so that you're trying to say the 6 days to 0 days? Is that what you're talking about doing?
We're just trying to think up ways of how we can make this better for our kids.
Well, I think, you know, whether we like it or not, or whether people like it or not, the 6 days are six less school days. And, you know, that was the agreement that was signed by both the union and the board.
Absolutely.
You know, I hadn't thought about the idea that David mentioned. I don't even know if that's possible to spread it out. I don't know. I hadn't heard that idea before. But I guess, you know, I think I've already said tonight, I think the best thing that we can do is try to just get as much in as we can in this school year, you know, and, you know, realize that 6 days, whether we like it or not, are just the framework we're working with in.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to respond to David's idea. I think it's really creative, but our attorneys were saying the problem is we're not just talking about this year. IRS says you've got to take care of business this year. So that there are so many issues that are involved with legalities of how the dock days work and that whole thing, and I'd have to have our attorney explain it to you all, but you know, that's one of the things that we have to work with. And unfortunately, I think we are where we are.
I don't agree. I will have to say that I don't agree, and here's why I don't agree. I think that there are creative ways that we can come up with to help our students. Not necessarily to help teachers, the board, the district, or anyone else, just our students. And I think if, as a taxpayer, I think if we're paying an attorney, then we need to task that individual to do what we want them to do. We would be the customer. And if the attorney is telling us that, oh no, you can't, there are school districts that have. So I disagree with that, and I would personally, as a taxpayer, suggest that we make a recommendation to the board that we task the attorney to come up with something a little bit more creative on behalf of our children, based on the fact that our mission statement says that we're trying to help them achieve their dreams. And that is what we do in a school district. We help our children, not anyone else. There is another creative suggestion that I actually came up with, and I took a look at the number of early dismissal days that we have. This year we have 15 early dismissal days. Now, I know teachers that work in other school districts that have told me that they don't even have any early dismissal days. So if we pull an hour off of every single, and we've got 10 of them left, there was an early dismissal day today, I believe I counted that we have 10 more early dismissal days. I have no idea what happens during an early dismissal day for that last hour. But if it means that our children go to school for another day and a half, because that's what that boils down to, if you add those hours back in, the rest of those 10 hours, that is a whole day to day and a half, depending, or you could stretch it and make it 2 days if you really wanted to. So there are creative ways that we can come up with to make this happen. And we do have more than just the AP children. We have students who are graduating early on individual education plans, on reading recovery plans. There are several different reasons. Special needs children, children with handicaps, smart kids, middle kids, low grade kids, all kinds of reasons to help our kids. So I would ask, personally, that Bart, as the liaison between the community and the school district board, that you make that recommendation for me, please, to the school board, that we ask that attorney to come up with a better way of satisfying our community members.
I will be glad to, and I want you to know, though, that I respect your opinion, and I admire it, and you people here have all opinions, but we also have a lot of people that aren't here who believe that the teachers needed to be docked even more. I'm not saying that should have happened, but we have that. I mean, I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. And Mike is a member of a 7-person board. He had his feelings, but we have 6 others. And, you know, we're trying to find a balance that works for both parties, and we thought we reached that balance. It's not great.
Okay, but. And I understand, and please, for the audience one more time, please don't make any comments, and we appreciate your silence. So I'm going to go back to this idea that David had. And with that idea, the teachers don't get paid. The teachers don't get paid at all. If we take 2 days in 2014, 2 days in 2015, 1 in 16 and 1 in 7, that's the 4 years of the contract, and they still don't get paid for those days. It doesn't happen in the same year, but our children are not affected so heavily during 2014-15 school year.
That would be great, except for litigation. The teachers that retire this year, they're not going to suffer that. There are issues that go on for schools that have more bearing than anybody can imagine. And unfortunately, how are we going to say to the other membership that, okay, now this group of people is going to have this amount docked, but then they retire and they're not going to suffer the rest? I wish I could answer. I don't have a good answer.
How many retiring teachers are there?
Oh, approximately 19, and every year there's about that, 10 to 19. It varies a little, but.
And how many total teachers do we have?
328, I believe.
Okay, so not a large percentage of the teachers would be affected there. I think from a dollars and cents standpoint, it wouldn't make that much difference. I think it is something that we could look into if we really were trying to help our kids. And we're gonna stop that subject. and go on to the next one, which is my favorite topic. Let's talk about the Board of Education and its role for a second. And my understanding is that the superintendent of schools does act as the liaison between the community and the school board. Is that correct? However, the school board is tasked, one of the duties and responsibilities of the board is to make sure that the community is informed and that we have a good relationship between the community and the district and the board. And so with that, during board meetings, we are able to ask questions as community members. Anyone can come and ask a question, right? Right?
Yes.
That is the way that goes. Okay. So while the events and meetings of the past few months have shown a major disconnect between the board and the community, I'm going to paraphrase, but I think it's important to read this information. It comes straight from the district's own policy. For the audience that's listening and those people who have not sat up at night and read the policy, I'm going to read it for them. The superintendent is tasked with developing and maintaining channels for communication between the school and community. In the board's policy regarding connection with the community, section 810, it clearly states that the superintendent is the district's chief spokesperson and shall plan and implement a district public relations program. Let me repeat that. Shall plan and implement a district public relations program that will develop community understanding of school operation, gather community attitudes and desires for the district, help the community feel a more direct responsibility for the quality of education provided by their schools, earn the community's goodwill, respect, and confidence, promote a genuine spirit of cooperation between the school and the community. So our Board of Education does not answer our community's questions at school board meetings. Superintendent Arthur, do you feel, based on the district's own policy that I just read, that the plan in place currently earns the goodwill, respect, and confidence of the entire community?
I would say that our board acts the way that every board does at board meetings. Unfortunately, if you have 25 speakers come in and you had 7 board members answer every one of those, number one, we wouldn't know the feeling of all 7 board members because they're supposed to act as one body, and it would be terribly difficult to answer everybody that comes, because even though there were a lot of people that supported the strike, there were some that did not. And you know, how do we make it known for everybody to get a chance to speak? And so at every board meeting in districts that I've been in, there's a section at the beginning of the meeting for comments from the public, and we always offer that. We allow them 5 minutes to speak, and then after that, there are no response. And it's not that the board members don't want to respond to you, it's just that that's the policy, and that's the way it is in almost every board meeting that I've ever attended. Do I think it's the best? I don't know. It's hard to say. I know all of our board members have different opinions, and they speak their mind. Oftentimes during the comment section for the board members at the end of the meeting, most of the time they will say what they're feeling. Does that answer everybody's question? Probably not. But in the sincerity of keeping the meetings at least reasonable, that's one of the reasons that it's done that way in all districts.
Okay. Are there teachers that sit in on board decisions? No, right?
Yeah, I guess it depends on what kind of decisions you're talking about. We have several methods to try and get communication out for the public. We have pencil points. We have our website. Our curriculum person has a blog, and we're beginning to use social media, you know, Facebook and Twitter. Those are all new things, and we're trying to get the message out in every possible way we can. Is it ever enough? No. I mean, over-communication is important, and you know, I feel terrible. I feel like I've let us down in that regard, and we're working on getting better. And so for the union, for the public, I'm sorry if they felt they were uninformed, but the one thing that's difficult when you're in a closed session meeting the way we were during collective bargaining, we can't talk about it, and that's kind of frustrating, but I understand why people would feel the way they did.
An answer that was, I can't answer that question, would be better than a stone face. having students and teachers sit in and listen to what the board's thoughts are, hearing from the board, if it is every one of the seven of them, so that we can hear what thoughts are going on behind decision-making processes, are very important. And we have a major disconnect right now. I know people in the community who feel like it's a complete waste of time to go to a board meeting. We don't get our questions answered, and it would seem to me, if I got a question, that even if I had to discuss it separately and behind closed doors to get an answer, I would get that person an answer. Now, I have personally gone to board meetings and spoken and asked questions on more than one occasion. I have never received an answer from the board. Mike, can you tell us why that is?
You know, actually, until I think the August meeting, most board meetings, we had absolutely no one speak to the board. I would say, you know, I've been on the board for 17 and a half years. I would say probably 2/3 of the meetings, no one addressed the board. You know, I think the fact that the last several board meetings we've had, I think I roughly added up, we've had about 60 people address the board our last three meetings total, maybe 50 different people. I think you're probably right. We do need to find a better way to address those people. You know, I think part of it is just the fact that we never really had people address the board, you know, in the past. And usually it was, you know, some personal matter, and either board members or the administration, you know, spoke to the person about that particular problem. But, you know, I think what, you know, the last three meetings anyway, you know, very respectfully listened to all those 60 people or whatever the number was. And, you know, the fact that we didn't respond immediately to them, I think, as Mr. Arthur said, that it would be difficult to respond to each person at each time. I think we'd have been there all night, in half the morning, I think. But I think you're probably right. You know, the people who address the boards, we should have probably been a little more personal in responding to those people. I agree with you there. You know, as you said, maybe send you an email the next day or whatever if we didn't respond publicly. You know, I think we can do better with that. I agree.
Okay. David, do you have an opportunity at the board as GEA president to speak on behalf of the teachers, is that correct?
Yes, I think the school board makes available for anybody to get up and speak, either for themselves or for whatever committee that they're representing. And there has been times that I have spoke on behalf of myself, and there has been times I have spoke as a GEA representative.
Okay. Do you feel it's important for the teachers to have input in what happens in their classrooms, what the board makes decisions on?
I think it's detrimental to the education process, because the teachers are the ones that are in the classroom. They're the ones working with the students, and I think they know the needs of those students and what they need to make sure they have so they can provide the best education they can for those students.
Okay. So we need to make sure that the students' education is first, always. We need to make sure that the teachers, if they have any challenges, that, you know, they're heard and resolved. Parents and other taxpayers, we need to be listening to them. And so I'm going to make another recommendation for the board, if I may. And that is that we have more of these types of roundtables where, and I know that there's an Open Meetings Act and all of that, but we do have parents who don't have access to the internet. They don't read the newspaper. They don't listen to the radio. They don't know what is going on. We also have teachers who are 50%, 50%, and sometimes some problem with morale apparently right now for some of them, maybe not, but some of them. I think that there are a number of questions that have come up this year. Cook School, Silas Willard, the stadium at the high school, the strike. There's so many questions that have come up in this year alone. I can't see that in the future we're going to have a downturn in the number of questions that come to the board. I think that we'll wind up with an uptick, especially after this year, okay? With that, would it be wrong to suggest that we have more community roundtables where at least one board member, and hopefully two maybe, could come? And I think that that would not violate the Open Meetings Act, along with the district representation, teacher representation. Perhaps we have a teacher from every school, we have a parent from every school, or a PTO member, or someone, and students, and not just the students who are going to tell us that they were planning the prom. Really students that care. Not ones that were hand-picked to be on student council. Really the leaders in the school. And I think that we can ask the teachers which ones those children are and invite them to the table as well, so that we can really get a full feel for what really should be done in our schools and if there really are any problems that need to be addressed. I think that communication is the most important thing that we have as human beings, and in our school district right now we are lacking that tremendously. Would you all agree with that? Bart, would you agree with that?
I wouldn't say tremendously. I think we can get better, but I will not say that we're lacking totally, because we have a lot of things out there to let the public know what's happening, and but we can improve.
Okay. I take that.
I would agree with what Bart says, but I mean, you know, as with anything, you can always do better, and you know, things like what you said tonight and what's going on in the past few months make us realize that we need to do better.
Okay, great. So that's a suggestion, a recommendation that I'll make on behalf of our membership, and if you could make that to the board, I'd appreciate it. It feels funny asking you when he's sitting right next to you, but that's what we're doing. Okay. So I may not be able to ask this question. Please tell me if I'm off limits on this one. The effect the strike had on retiring teachers and their salaries during retirement is a very hot topic. Is there anything the board or district can do to assist those teachers with their challenge in rebuilding what would normally have been their whole retirement pay?
Right now, we can't really talk about it because we're in arbitration. The union has filed a grievance, and now it's going to arbitration. But I will tell you that from the district's point of view, we're going to do everything we can to try to help those people either make up the money that they've lost by taking on extra duties or those kind of things. But that's about the most we can talk about right now until we get something solved from the arbitration.
Okay. Go ahead, David. You didn't, okay.
Yeah, at this time, the GA cannot talk about it because it is an arbitration. So that's one of the topics that I'm sorry we're not able to discuss.
Nope, that's fine. Okay. So during the strike and bargaining process, District 205 had an attorney present and representing them, and that attorney was their chief negotiator for the board. So our community finds it hard to believe that the GEA did not have an attorney present during these negotiations at all, not even an Illinois Education Association attorney. Mr. Sharp, can you please explain why this was the case and measures that can be taken for our teachers in the future to ensure proper representation in negotiations?
I would really like it if Ms. Nathan could answer that question for me, please.
The IEA has hundreds and hundreds of school districts and do not have the legal staff to send to every school district and an attorney during negotiations. What we do have are called UNISERV directors, and I would like to take this opportunity to clear up the misconception that they are legal representation. They are not. They're former teachers. They have some training through IEA on school code, but they certainly are not attorneys. They don't act as attorneys on our behalf. They are there somewhat as a liaison. We do have the opportunity through them to contact an attorney during negotiations. It is not ideal because we many times need an immediate answer, and we sometimes have to wait for the availability of the attorney to even get the question, much less get an answer back. So the timeliness of it is not in our favor. The GEA itself is not an organization that can afford to hire a private attorney to sit with us at the table. And I think that it's our belief that we go into negotiations hoping to just negotiate a contract without it being a legal situation.
Okay. I appreciate that. That just kept coming up and coming up. So I understand that. So it makes sense to me. Last question, and this has nothing to do with the strike. Our district is on the AYP watch list. Can you please explain for us, Bart, what that means to our district and what plans are being made to get us off that AYP watch list?
Well, the watch list is no longer in force. That was under No Child Left Behind, and the laws have changed, and now we're looking at PARC. We have no idea what the consequences will be from the PARC assessment. This year, we're beginning the PARC assessment. We took a semi-PARC last year, but the kids aren't really ready, but at least for the PARC assessment this year, we're supposed to be doing it on the computers, but we just found out the fall session for our high school, which we made sure everybody had computers, will be done on paper pencil. So the problem is the state isn't quite ready. Hopefully in the spring they will be, and we'll take the test on computers, but we have no idea what the standards will be. This will be the benchmark year where they'll set the standards, and then, you know, we'll have to go from there. But as of right now, they say that there aren't going to be any consequences, that schools that don't do well will be supported by the ISBE, and I'm not sure exactly how that'll happen, but that's what's been told to us.
Okay, great. We are, and I promised we would close at 7, and it is 6:57, so I'm going to make a couple of closing remarks. And one thing that I do want to make clear for our listening audience, I know that no one in this audience would, sitting near us, would have ever done anything like this, but on Facebook, while the strike was going on, so during the strike and after the strike and back to school, and we saw an enormous amount of Facebook and Twitter activity, and we had adults, so this is for our entire community, we had adults on Facebook really going at each other's throats. It got very ugly very quickly. I'm happy to see that that has slowed down, but just a word to the wise for everyone, all the adults, when you do that on Facebook, your children can see you do it. It's not pretty, and the children are laughing at the adults. Just a word to the wise, stay off of the internet when you're in social media. Unless you're in messaging, just stay off of it, because it's not good for our kids to see us acting like children. So those are all the questions we have for time for this evening, while we're hoping this will clear a few of the biggest of the community's questions up. There are still many more questions that have gone unasked and unanswered. That suggestion to have more roundtables, whether we host it or you host it, we really make that as a serious suggestion. So if we cannot get answers to the questions, though, at a board meeting, we need to make sure that the board understands that that is the most frustrating thing that we can have happen. So we'll hopefully get an answer to that in very short order. Is that agreed? We should be able to get an answer pretty quickly. Okay, great. Thank you. So thank you very much for your participation. I really appreciate you guys coming. I know that all of our community members that are listening appreciate you guys coming this evening. I don't think it was too hard, and we all got through it. So everybody have a good evening, and thank you for coming too.